Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I got a question for you. We all saw the He Gets Us ads during the Super Bowl. Now, 5 weeks later, hardly anyone is talking about it. In your opinion, was it worth $100 million? In today's podcast post, I will share my perspective on the He Gets Us ad and reflect upon what I think were its successes and its failures. In a polarized world like ours, I do applaud the appeal to unify all comers and invite a spiritual exploration. Join me now as I share why it's true that He gets us, but after 2,000 years, we still don't get Him. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things that I do in the world. I'm just like you. I wear lots of hats. We get a lot done, don't we? We take a lot on. Our lives are complex, diverse, multi-dimensional. Folks, we are in between series. We are going through a number of different things right now in the content of the podcast. So if you are new, I want to say welcome. You came at a great time. I hope that this one kind of gets you thinking, gives you a little window into what this is all about, and you desire to come back and learn more, dive deep. You can always learn more at my website, kevinwinder.com. Remember, I spell Kevin like the number seven. Or you can check out my blog, thriveinexile.com. Okay, folks, so you heard the intro, and this is it, right? We're going to talk about the He Gets Us commercial that we all saw on the Super Bowl. And, you know, I've been following the posts. I've read a lot of feedback. I've read a lot of comments. I've read a lot of the... And it just seems like the already divided world saw the commercial and just divided it into their two categories again. But I have some comments. I have some thoughts that I think really are important. And so today in podcast number 375, we're going to talk about it. I call it He Gets Us and We Still Don't Get It. So, $100 million was spent during the Super Bowl, bringing Jesus to the forefront of the modern conversation. And that doesn't just happen, folks. Most ministries, groups of people who are interested in promoting Jesus, don't have $100 million. So this was a big collaboration. You could probably dissect and figure out all of what's behind it on your own, as I did. But that's not the point today. My point is that, you know, I've watched the discourse now for several weeks. And to nobody's surprise, Jesus is just as polarizing today as he ever was. Now, some political figures literally spewed kind of venomous comments, seeing the ad as a return to fascism, because in their world, fascism and religion are seen as the exact same thing. Others celebrated the fact that their object of worship, their subject of worship, of all their worship music, of K-Love, was validated on the public stage, you know. And so, again, you have these two camps, right? The commercial basically appealed to everyone, or so it tried, and it was rejected by half and received by the other half. And for most people who cared infinitely more about the game than spiritual renewal, like, that's really the context that this commercial came into. You know, I love that the commercial invited a spiritual exploration to learn more about what did Jesus really say. I love that. But let's just face it, of all the people watching the Super Bowl, how many really care about spiritual renewal? I mean, the commercial spots were just blips on the radar screen, and then back the world went to the queso dip and their recliner. $100 million. Poof, gone. So, was it a success? I think there are successes and some places where it fell short. So let me talk first about what I think are some of its successes. The ad did bring Jesus into the modern conversation, at least temporarily. And I believe that is really vital. I mean, we talk about racism, equality, refugees, activism, political hatred, wars, and everything that's going on in our world right now. And it's absolutely vital as people and humanity to reflect upon the greatest icons of human history who stood for and usually died for such causes. And Jesus is by far the centerpiece of human history whose life and teachings offer true transformation to a world suffering under so many pains. But we are 2,000 years of church history into this thing now. And that creates a ton of light pollution if we want to see our way through it. So, however, in the modern mind, Jesus is the baby thrown out with religious bathwater. So I do appreciate the invitation to revisit his life and his message. I think that's important. I think it's being lost. I think this generation has been raised in an environment that has really looked down on spiritual growth in traditional religion, and I can understand that, as you will see. But what's happened is nobody is taking seriously those claims anymore. There is no real appeal to morality as we pull back our society from moral norms and just create a whatever feels good. The decline of our civilization is happening all around us. And so I consider it a success that he gets us, invited us to revisit his life and message. And I think it's a success that it's creating a distinction, at least on the surface, between the Christian religion, which if you read the website, it's not an invitation to church, supposedly. And we know that the Christian religion, most fundamental Christianity, leaves this horrible taste in the mouths of modern people, and rightfully so. It's earned that stench in their nostrils. And the discovery of Jesus' teaching, which invite all comers to become Christ followers, is really a vital distinction between the Christian religion and what it means to be a Christ follower. That is nuanced in this, and I could see it. I appreciated that. I think that's a success. If anything, the inclusive message that we saw on the commercials about all of the people suffering, we're all in this together, was a powerful reminder and a success as far as that goes. But let's face it, let's look at the audience. Most Americans don't have a lot of capacity nor spiritual understanding. And even those who follow Christianity and subscribe to the teachings of Jesus, I mean, 9 out of 10 of them do not have a biblical worldview. They have a political worldview. They have a churchified worldview. It's an echo chamber of the right, but it's not really any knowledge of what the scripture says. So I appreciate the invitation to go and look at what it says. That will be a different journey than going to church anytime. And the goal of all Super Bowl ads is to really drive us to a website. And from that perspective, a person can go to the He Gets Us website and click on a number of topics which might resonate with a diverse audience. And if success is measured in clicks, then I'm sure He Gets Us, you know, did quite well. So that's a success, I suppose. But there are areas where I think this ad fell short. And you may not have a context to understand it. And maybe when you hear me talk about this, you're going to label me, dismiss me, because I am not playing party to the system. What do I mean? Well, those who oppose the ad learned that Christian leaders were behind the ad, right? And that the Christian leaders were behind this ad and its promotion, and essentially they accused them, simply by virtue of them being Christians, that they were somehow anti-gay or anti-everything that modern wokeism is against. And this is just the kind of nonsense that the left is constantly doing. They are not known to be for anything other than against everything. And of course, the right does the same thing, where they forsake what they are about and just fight about everything they're against. This whole anti-everything claim is really not entirely fair, but it is understandable in a world where so few people think for themselves and really just adopt the foolish groupthink of identity politics. And so, you know, if that's not your identity, then you have to reject it and, you know, make a big stink about it. And that's what's happened. And it's a big lift, really, to take a 30-second commercial and have some kind of a PR campaign for Jesus in a world that has basically embraced hatred of the other as a means of inclusion. Oh, we're all about inclusion, and we're going to do so by hating you guys. Right? You're a Trumpster, so we hate you. Or you're a Christian, so we hate you. You're anti-this or anti-that. You're whatever, and so I have to hate you, condemn you, cancel you. Right? And it's silliness. And so it's a big challenge for this ad to cut through all that noise and get to the inclusive part. It's also vital to see how religious fundamentalism on the other side has caused tremendous pain and division, all in the name of Jesus. You know, to those who have been hurt by the church, a 30-second ad isn't likely to change very much, right? You're going to stay pretty burned. So the focus of the commercial is Jesus and his ability to get us in the midst of a despairing world. And that's a powerful message. I applaud it. As we dive deeper, the website gives itself away by trying to differentiate that the commercial is about learning more about what Jesus said and not some invitation to go to church. But, I mean, let's be honest here. It is. It really is an invitation to go to church, and that's the failure. See, the big miss for the He Gets Us ad is, ironically, that the church doesn't get it, right? The folks at life.church are the ones behind it. And they know darn well, as an online ministry and those who work within church systems, that the religious establishment will crucify anyone who doesn't uphold the church machinery. Now listen, I know this because I've been doing this now for a long time. I've been leading what John Spong would call the church alumni, the people who no longer go to church, the people who want God but not religion. And I've been doing this in my blog, Thrive in Exile, since 2010. And I've been helping people, coaching and uncoaching them, to rediscover the Bible without the light pollution of religion, which should never have existed in the first place. And since 2015, my podcast, Beyond Everything Radio, has served as a contemplative meal to those who have extracted themselves from religion but still hunger for God. So I can speak with a lot of experience here, okay? And over the years, I can tell you the religious establishment has not been kind to me. And I imagine it would do the same to the He Gets Us if the ad didn't ultimately try, or in the website cryptic denial, that it would bolster declining church attendance. I think that's at least inferred in the process, that maybe you'll get to go, where else would you learn about Jesus? Go to church. And I have learned something since I've kind of stepped back from the church machinery. I still go from time to time, but the church is not a place you go. It's what you bring to the world. And I have learned that people in the world are very eager to talk about God with questions, but they don't want to talk about God with churchgoers. Now you know why. So if the goal was to learn more about Jesus and his true message, then the ad would have been way more successful if it had actually done so. I mean, yes, Jesus identified with the poor and the refugees and the oppressed, but he was not an evangelical Christian. Nor did he start a new alternative religion to which everybody had to be converted if they wanted to go to heaven. Jesus' message was profoundly subversive to the institutional powers of religion and state. Do you realize that? Most people don't know that. Most people think that Jesus' message is, you gotta put me in some imaginary door in your heart if you want to go to heaven and not burn in hell when you die. So if the commercial conveyed Jesus' message, his message would have been horribly harsh to modern Christianity, just as harsh as it was to Judaism in his day. Jesus was not pro-religion, and I highly doubt Jesus would look upon the state of the modern American evangelical fundamental Christian religion and say, yeah, that's what I was going for. So think about this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus tells the religious mind, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. See, that is a statement that literally undermines, it subverts religion. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The success of the ad was the trajectory of healing and inclusion through Christ Jesus. I thought that was kind of cool. The failure beneath the surface is this religion's game of Red Rover with the world, which requires conversion to evangelical Christianity for this inclusion to be realized. And that's always the catch, isn't it? Oh, you got to join our team. You got to put that chrome fish on the back of your car, or you're not one of us. It's us against you. It's you're the world. We're, you know, it's like this, it's this tribalism that is just embedded in religion. And Jesus saw it and undermined it. It may come as a surprise that the goal of Scripture is not conversion unto some new alternative religion. It might surprise the church to realize that. Nor is it hatred of or escape from this declining world. The centerpiece of Scripture, old and new and other, is to bring all humanity together in an inclusive understanding that Christ is a force, an office, a title, a role, and not Jesus' last name. Early Christians were Christ followers, and they comprised many different religions, traditions, and life experiences. Paul belabors this point in nearly all of his epistles. And Jesus' followers came from all walks of life. And guess what? They remained in those walks of life long after he was gone. The church was comprised of people of other religions who all were Christ followers from within them. It was comprised of irreligious people, secular people who became Christ followers and remained as they were, and as Paul directs people to do in the New Testament, to remain in the state that you were called. So why is this impossible today? I mean, it's throughout Scripture. It's throughout everything, and it's the church without the biblical worldview that makes this so impossible. religions control the narrative. Power always does. Religious power is what Jesus was against. All institutional power was subverted, in, except for church or religion and state, and those are the two that put Jesus on the cross. As people question or outgrow their religious control, religion, which sees itself as the solution, it always sees itself as the solution. It's unable to see that religion is actually the problem. No soul has ever been saved by a religion. No soul has ever been saved by a doctrine, a theology, a Bible verse, or any other commercial venture. So why is there billions and billions poured every year into these systems to make people happy? All people are saved solely by Christ and His mercy. The big discovery for those in Jesus' day, just as it is for us, is that this work of Christ, seen in the life of Jesus, has been on display throughout all of human history. Before Jesus came on the scene, in all religions, in all peoples, in all places, that's not just me wishful thinking it. This is me sharing the discovery of the scripture to you. I mean, consider the verse where the people of Israel, who were, by the way, not Christians, were saved by Christ and didn't know it. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. When the author of Hebrews and Paul, throughout his writings, celebrate the faith of Abraham, don't you think it's important to see that the faith of Abraham was not in Christianity? Nor was Abraham's faith in Judaism, folks. He predated both religions. His faith, if anything, was pagan. But it was in this other thing. It was in this voice that called him out of his kindred. That's the gospel. See, it was a faith in Christ, but it was greeted from afar, as the author of Hebrews says. But there's no way Abraham could possibly know it as Jesus or as the Christ. It was just this pulling in his heart. And most of our world has that. The commercial would have been a massive success if they could have tapped into that and said, "We're all following this." The scripture in Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he called to go out to the place that he was to receive this inheritance, this blessing. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." What a stupid thing to do, but why would he do it? Well, that's what faith does. It puts you in a space where this other thing is calling you from the inside out, and it's causing you to subvert the power of your family over you, and you move into authenticity and healing and independence. And you follow that voice into your own maturity and transformation. See, the gospel, the good news of Christ, is this inclusive message that all comers, regardless of where we start, or are brought to the Maker. We're all brought to our Maker, just like Abraham, the voice that calls him out of his kindred is the voice that calls Lazarus out of his tomb. It's the voice that calls the addiction, the addict out of his or her addiction. It's the one that calls you out of your oppression. It is this gospel, not by religious conversion, but by completion through an unconventional faith. Through this muddy context of life, this is what Scripture talks about. The hope of the world is not a competitive tribal religion with endless power plays. It's the power of belonging to God and seeing all our brothers and sisters as belonging to the same. I would have loved it if in this 30-second ad, "He Gets Us" would have gone further with the invitation for a suffering world to follow Christ, not by joining religion, but by becoming free, from it. That would have been something people are still talking about. Of course, as I close today, the course correction is for the religious mind to widen if they're ever to find Jesus' message. And it's for the irreligious mind to narrow if they are to ever be shaped by Jesus' message. It's there. It's available to all of us. I invite you, like the ad did, to go back and check for yourself. Why don't you start opening your Bible in the New Testament? Start with Matthew. Read, if you can't read anything else, just read the best sermon ever preached in Matthew 5 through 8. The Sermon on the Mount. Check it out. See what he says. See how favorable he is to religious people as he goes through his life in that story. Explore for yourself and see what changes. That'd be a good place to start. But you know what? We don't need the religion. The religion can support us and help us and guide us, but it can also suck us in and blind us and make us hard and hateful. So in the end, it's true. He does indeed get us, but alas, we still don't seem to get him.